Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come boldly before thy holy throne as your children. We thank you for the blessed gift of thyself through Jesus Christ, thy Son, that we might be enabled to become the children of God and to share with you our desires and to share with you our every request. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and pray that he shall guide each of us as we pray even now. We thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege of being here in this place. We thank you for all those who have helped make it possible for us to be here to study and to give ourselves to the leadership of thy Spirit that we might be enabled to serve the Lord Jesus in a better way. We thank you for the president of this institution, for each of the professors, and pray that each one shall daily look to you and be guided, that they might lead and instruct aright. We pray that you'd be with each of us as students, that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear and hands to do thy bidding. Dear Lord, we would pray for the leaders of our convention in these days. We pray especially that you would be with the convention of Baptists here in this state. The decisions and the meetings that will be made come next week, we pray that each of us shall look and seek the leadership of thy Holy Spirit, and that in and through it all, Jesus will be lifted up. Now, dear Lord, we thank you for Dr. Blackmore and pray that thy Holy Spirit will guide him and use his lips to speak to our hearts what thou would have us to hear even this hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Oh, Thank you, Mr. Seddon, Dr. Johnson. This morning I want to share with you some thoughts on the theme, when it's hard to pray. Most of us know such times when it seems God is far away and our own hearts are cold and hard. Now, lest we think that such experiences are peculiarly ours, may I remind you that some of the great ones of our faith had similar experiences. Listen to Job's cry. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. And the psalmist, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? And again, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And Jesus cried from the cross, my God, why have you let me down? This identifies our Lord with our estrangement from God. What are the human circumstances that make praying difficult? Pain is one. Pain can be so severe that our minds cannot focus on anything. Shock is another. How many times have someone clutched your hand, and gasped, Pastor, pray for us. We are so numb we can't think of anything. Anxiety can do it. We can worry ourselves into such a state when all sensitivity is numb. Sin can block prayer. Remember the line Shakespeare gave the king in Hamlet. Pray, can I not? Though inclination be as sharp as will, my strong guilt defeats my strong intent. And like a man to double business bound, I stand in pause where I shall first begin, and both neglect. My words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. And let's not forget pride and self-conceit and all those sins of spirit which excludes God from our consciousness. Once I heard John Bailey of Scotland tell in a rare moment that he was not as close to the Lord as once he'd been. And he said, you know, we can be so busy about the kingdom that we neglect the King. When I was a student in Rochester, we had the rare privilege of having Dr. Rufus Jones on our campus. I always have to explain who this man was because I belong to another generation of students. But he was one of our heroes, a great Quaker leader and giant of a Christian. And we were invited to share with him some of our problems and our thoughts. And I told him on one of these occasions, I said, Dr. Jones, there are times I don't feel like praying. There are other times I do. Should I just go through the act when I really don't mean it? It seems to me it's just empty hypocrisy. Well, the wise, gentle saint replied, yes, I know how you feel. I've often felt that way too. But when I come to the end of the day and I think of the people who've helped me, the man at the filling station that told me the way, the waitress, the restaurant that smiled with that cup of coffee, the little girl skipping down the street, the youth waiting by the road for the school bus. I think of all these people. I want to thank God for them, and I want to pray a prayer for them. I tell God how I feel. I'm tired and don't feel like praying. But when I'm honest with him, somehow I begin to relax and I find healing powers begin to restore me. And then I feel like real praying. And then he said, remember, our Lord was regular in his prayer. Now the other thoughts I want to share with you this morning kind of comes out of reflection upon these words that Dr. Jones gave me now 30 years ago. And the first, when it's hard to pray, be honest with God. It's strange that we should say this in view of our Lord's teaching to avoid the pretty speeches and the long words. Not to pretend or put on airs, just be yourself. And Dr. Scoggin, a few years ago, it gave me a jolt when I found one of the ancient roots of prayer, a Hebrew word, was to level. To level with God means to come straight, to come clean, to tell it like it is, to be honest with God. That's where we begin. If you're mad, tell him. If you're hurt, tell him. If you're tired, tell him. If you're all confused, tell him. If you're all uptight, tell him. Tell him like it is. He already knows. There's no need of pretending. Be honest with God. When we pour out all our resentment, all our sin, all our anger, all our disappointment, when we get it all out until we're empty, God can fill us up. The second suggestion I would make is to be grateful. Grateful for something, for anything. Gratitude is a place to begin. It's when the car is skidding, it's the extra power that keeps it going. I grant you there are times when it gets dark, but I believe if we look long enough, we can find some star to look to, something to be thankful for. We could take a lesson from the noble Stoic, who, when told by his emperor that he would be executed, gave a banquet for his friends. And amid their laughter rose, without one backward look, at all the blessings he was leaving untouched, and turned with gratitude for what he had eaten and what he had known and what he had enjoyed. We can be thankful for what we've had when everything is taken from us. G.K. Chesterton has a line that has meant a great deal to me, and I hope you'll remember it. He said, gratitude is the golden thread by which many a weary man has found his way into the presence of God. Thank God for something. The leper who returned to thank the master received a blessing which the other nine never knew. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And I'm sure there are blessings in gratitude that we little know or fully realize. Like Paul's word, in everything give thanks, these words of William Lord in a serious call to a devout life may be a bit beyond us, but they point in the right direction. If anyone would tell you the shortest, surest way to all happiness and all perfection, he must tell you to make a rule to yourself to thank and praise God for everything that happens to you. For it is certain that whatever seemingly calamity happens to you, if you thank God and praise God for it, you turn it into a blessing. Could you therefore work miracles, you could not be more for yourself, do more for yourself than by this thankful spirit. For it heals with a word and turns all that it touches into happiness. Now, as we say, this may be a little bit beyond us in our state now, but it certainly points in the right direction. And a third suggestion is to look to Jesus. William Manson in Edinburgh used to tell us that the way is not always clearly presented in the gospel account, but there's enough of light there by which we can find the way. The hints and suggestions and the pointers are clear enough for us to find the way. And I like the word that the Scottish minister gave us, Reverend Dennis Land. He said, when it seems that God is far away, think about Jesus. Think of some favorite passage of Scripture when Jesus seemed closest and dearest to you. In fact, he said every Christian should have such a landmark, a touchstone, home base, when he can clue in to Jesus. And as you think of Jesus in this situation, address yourself to him. I remember some time ago when I spoke about praying, and some said, well, do you pray to Jesus? And I said, yes, I do. And Brother Whalen, they said, well, isn't that bad theology? And I said, well, it may not be the best theology, but I tell you one thing, it's good religion, and it works. When I think of the movement of God in a storm and wind and the trembling of the earth, and I think of the upheavals, you know, it's kind of hard to find God. But Jesus, you can think about him. You can turn to him. And when you speak to him, somehow it blends into the Father. And you never know when you stop talking to Jesus and you're talking to the Father. And of course, the Spirit is what bears you up in this. It's what's moved your heart first to pray. And you come in Jesus' name into the Holy Presence. And you never can mark off the division between Spirit, Son, and Father. I haven't yet, with all these years, found a real good definition of the Trinity. I don't know that you can define it. It's something you experience more than you define. Jesus is the door by which we come into the presence of God. At times, I must confess that at times the presence of God is overpowering and consuming. I well know our God is a consuming fire, and that no man can see God and live. His glory will shatter our being. How can a candle hold the sun? How can a thimble hold the sea? But Jesus, blessed Jesus, yes, we can receive him. The God incarnate comes to us on our level of being and speaks our language. And the last suggestion, when it's hard to pray, is to learn to wait on the Lord. And here I use wait in both meanings because it has significance for us. We must learn to be still and know that God is God. We cannot boss him around or twist him to our whims or opinions. He is not shocked by our evil, nor is he overcome by it. He knows fully the folly of our humanity, and yet he keeps on being God and keeps on loving the children of men. Hear the word, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of him, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Oh, when will we learn to trust the everlasting arms and give up our wild panic threshing of the waters? I believe it was Rufus Jones who told of a French peasant who stayed in his little village church long after everyone else had left. He did this Sunday after Sunday. And Elisha's priest slipped in behind him one day and knelt down beside him. Jean, you pray long. Yes, Father. Are you troubled, Jean? Troubled? No, Father, I'm not troubled. What are you praying for then? Praying for? Oh, Father, I'm not praying for anything. I'm just looking at God. And God's looking back at me. I think, Dr. Binkley, that's about the peak. And I think that's what Charles Wesley meant when he spoke, lost in wonder, love, and praise. It's not often we can come to that place. And so the second meaning of wait has meaning for us. The times when we must do something for God. In the time when God seems afar off, asleep, perhaps gone on a hunt, dead, as to this poor man. He had warned his neighbor again and again about a stock animal, and yet that bull kept breaking out until one day the man found that bull in his yard pawing the mauled body of his little daughter. When the funeral was over that very day, the man was found out in his enemy's pasture, sowing something. And they asked him, what was he doing? And he cried, I'm sowing the best pasture seed I could find in my enemy's field that God might be. That's waiting on God too. Doing something good when goodness no longer has meaning. That's returning good for evil. That's redemption. Planting for another to reap. Offering a sacrifice to a silent heaven. That's the very kind of thing Jesus did. And the very kind of thing he calls us to do. And of course God knows. And God cares. Where was ever so much love as on Calvary? Somehow in this waiting, in this serving, we enter God's labors and he joins us in ours. Here we are in mystery and majesty, where language breaks down. But hear this comforting, strengthening, cheering word of Paul that we read a moment ago. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When it's hard to pray, be honest, be thankful, look to Jesus, and learn to wait on the Lord. Wait in being still and knowing that he is God. Waiting in doing something for God when your own heart is heavy and the night is dark. For the Spirit is pleading with us and through us and along beside us with words that are beyond human comprehension, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Lord, teach us to pray. Oh God, thank you for Jesus, for the love he brings to us and the door he opens into thy presence. And thank you for the Spirit that pleads with us and comforts us, comes along beside us to take our place, to make petition for us. And thank you for the Father, for his love and care for us all. And Lord, help us to pray like Jesus prayed, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all this day and forever.